Good morning, Astoria Community Church. It's good to be with you today. I want to pray because I told a friend of ours, a new friend of ours, that I'd pray for them. We collectively would pray for them. We'll call him Brother M and his wife, Sister R. They are from a Muslim-majority country, saved by the grace of God, and follow Jesus Christ. They're living in a rural area and feel that the Spirit of the living God is calling them towards this place to serve and reach unreached people here. And I told them we would pray for them as they're seeking either Astoria or maybe another neighborhood in Brooklyn to set up shop to expand the kingdom here. So can we pray for Brother M and Sister R? Heavenly Father, you are awesome, and we cry, holy, 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 to our Lord God Almighty. Lord, we thank you that your grace and mercy go and extend all across the world, that you include our people groups, that you include all people groups. Lord, we pray especially for this beautiful couple and their children, Brother M and Sister R, as they seek your will. As they seek to make your name great and know you in the process. Lord, it's expensive to live here, and they're counting the literal cost of coming, but they want to serve you. I pray for provision, I pray for encouragement, and may they find brothers and sisters like us that can uphold them and support them as they seek your will among the nations here. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, guys. Hey, today there was kind of a wrench thrown in my plans a little bit, but I don't know how it's going to work out. I woke up to a dream, okay? Yikes. The Lord, it seemed, was telling me right as I wake up, play 11v11. I don't know if it's because of the World Cup, that FIFA Club World Cup that's going on or what. I watched a little bit with Jacob yesterday. But bear with me. I hope you brought your boots. I hope you're ready to go to Astoria Park after we're over, because I feel like the Spirit of God is trying to tell us maybe we got to work together a little bit more, Astoria Community Church. I don't know. Anyway, so get ready. I digress. All right. Back to Revelation 3. I need to read the scripture. Scripture reading today is found in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. Lord God Almighty is addressing the church of Laodicea. He says this, "I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Amen. So guys, this is the seventh church. Congratulations, you've made it to the seventh one in Revelation. Now, the church of Laodicea is a little unique out of all these seven. You'd say, maybe the Lord saved the best for last. I would beg you to strive to find something commendable in this passage. Actually, there's not anything. Jesus doesn't lift this church up and say, you know what, I know your works. You've done some decent stuff. He doesn't say, I know, you know, this looked good, but also you need to address this. No, he pretty much comes at them immediately and says, look, I know what you've done. It ain't that great. You're lukewarm, in fact. Now, what's with all this lukewarm stuff? I'm going to tell you how we're going to work this. We're just going to go down the passage, essentially. Not verse for verse, but idea for idea. I think this is applicable to us today. I'm not saying the other ones weren't, but this one, for the American church, the American evangelical church, this applies to us. So let's ask this question. Let's have a little introspection from the get-go. Are we lukewarm? Are we, Asuria Community Church, lukewarm? Do we have a fervent faith? Are we, individually, and our families, those associated with us, are we lukewarm? Do we have a fervent, alive, and living faith? One filled with energy, vibrancy. The Word of God, I think, is begging us to ask the question of ourselves today. So, Laodicea, let's go back there. Laodicea was rich, all right? It had a geographic, like, gem of a location. I can think of a city in the East Coast, mid-Atlantic region. It's got one of the biggest port cities in the world. It's a bastion of the arts and creativity. Economic powerhouse still, even though all the jobs left America long ago, apparently, but hey, we're doing all right, right? People come to this city from all around the world to acquire wealth, status, power, prestige, to leave a legacy. Yet, if this is all our life desires, if this is all we desire, we're not going to be fulfilled. And our faith is going to dry up. Laodicea was on a major trade route. It was a textile powerhouse. Black, okay, you've heard of Lydia and her purple garments and stuff. This place, black wool, was their cup of tea, if you will. That was their thing. They could really do well. People would adorn themselves in black wool garments. Laodicea was a banking center. Loads of wealth were invested in this city. I don't think we've been to Laodicea, right? So Brianne and I have been to a lot of these ancient sites. Laodicea we haven't been to, but you can see archaeological evidence of how robust the city was. It had a city field. It had a MetLife Stadium. It had two grand stadiums. It had a Broadway. It had big theaters. It had a NYU Longman. I don't know if I'm offending anybody that works for the other guys, but it had a Academy for Health. There. They had eye salve that they made, ointment for the eyes. What is Jesus doing here? Every good thing, seemingly, that the church of Laodicea could do, Jesus is saying, I got better. I got better than that. There was an earthquake that happened in this region. In AD 60, during the reign of Emperor Nero, many of those churches we've read about earlier were impacted by that. You guys have seen disasters hit our country and how we have to respond. Oftentimes, we need help. We need like a bailout, right? We need FEMA to get involved. We need the state government to be involved. We need some sort of disaster relief nonprofit entity to come help us repair. Well, Laodicea didn't need that. They didn't ask, and there's record of this, they didn't ask Caesar to come in and help us rebuild. They rebuilt on their own. They were wealthy enough and robust enough, and they took great pride in the fact that they were self-reliant. The church was that way too, apparently. Even though they had renowned wealth, extensive trading, prestige, the capability to take care of themselves without help from the Lord with a little L, they needed help from our Maker, from their King, the one that they forgot about, so wrapped up in their ordeals of life. Jesus is calling his church to fervent faith. Laodicea had water. It wasn't great. They had a siphon system that actually sucked the water from down below and had trouble. There's etchings that talk about the record of this system. It was imperfect. And so they had aqueducts coming from other cities near in the region that would bring water to Laodicea. This is where we get the lukewarm piece. One of the cities, Hierapolis, had hot water. It came from a hot spring. You guys may have been to a sauna or to a bathhouse before, and you know, you get that mineral water, it feels really good. Provides something for your body, right? Lets the blood vessels open up, helps your complexion, restores your soul. You can do other things with hot water, right? Boiling water, you can make tea. Abigail's a big tea person now. She's got all of these little gadgets that allow her to put flowers in there and other things in there and have really nice tea. I don't do that. Just do coffee. But this hot water would travel a long time, and by the time it arrived at Laodicea, it was lukewarm. Well, Colossae, where we get the book of Colossians, was also a place in that region that had an aqueduct that went similarly to this great economic powerhouse. They had ice cold water from the well, coming up from the springs, very refreshing, restorative. That's what you want to drink, right? What happens here? It's not rocket science. Takes a while for it to travel down the aqueduct. You guys have driven by an aqueduct, you can do it all the time. When you go up Harlem River Drive to cross over the George Washington Bridge, that new land pedestrian bridge, that was the old aqueduct that brought water down to New York City. We drive by this all the time. Well, this ice cold water, because it was exposed to the elements, by the time it got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. I don't know. When I make Irish breakfast for my family, I love doing that. It just takes forever. And I'm just overwhelmed with all of these things that I have to focus on. It's like, okay, let me get the sausages just rotated just right. Okay, what's up with the potatoes? I don't know. What about the beans? And please forgive me, we eat beans. I got to get that going. Well, by the time I've served breakfast up and I grab my cup of coffee and take a sip of it, it's a no-go. It's disgusting. It's not serving its true purpose, right? I was focused on other things at the time. The church of Laodicea at this time seemed to be doing really well. Our American church, I hear it all the time, oh, we're blessed. We're blessed by God, largely because of our wealth. And what we are lured to do in this capitalistic society, this consumer-driven world, is to be thinking about money all the time. To be thinking about our net worth. all the time, our wealth all the time. All the while, that self-reliance, I need more, I need to work more, I need a promotion, I need to achieve more, I need to collect more, I need to leave a legacy for my children, I need to, before we know it, our souls, who we are, have diminished. The Church of Laodicea, because of its self-reliance, had no faith in God, in their Maker, in their King. Now look, we have six other churches here, and they're all a vignette, so to speak, but they're historical. So like this just isn't some metaphor, guys. These are the real deal. The church in Ephesus abandoned its first love. The church in Smyrna, I guess we could call it a suffering church. They were going through a lot. The church in Pergamum was the church of compromise, so to speak. Each are addressed by the word of God. Church of Thyatira was the tolerant church. Church of Sardis was a dead church. Church of Philadelphia was a faithful church. Church of Laodicea, a lukewarm church. Brothers and sisters, are we lukewarm? God here is calling his church to remember their allegiances. Who are you allegiant to? Me? Or what the world has to offer? I would say this wealth in this church, this wealth maybe that we strive for here in America City, New York City, the Big Apple, this wealth is very much a health and wealth gospel. We Presbyterians over here, man, we reject that so fast. We say, oh man, that's not of the Lord. That's not biblical, of course. But then when you look at our schedules and you see where we put our time, where we put our energy, and where we're actively involved, it could very much be a health and wealth gospel that we've been duped into following. Could be very well be net worth or bust. It's all about tomorrow and what we can gain. Compound interest, wealth, prestige, security. Lord, help us repent. Lord, help us focus on you. This church had no fervent faith. So you guys have heard that time is money, right? That's what I mean. A lot of times we're too busy. We can't volunteer. We can't help the poor and the hungry. We can't help orphans or widows. We can't tutor those that don't have a household that's capable of helping them with their education because we're too busy. We're just busy. And so we have to leave it to the 80-20 rule where, you know, 20% of the church actually does these activities and 80% of the church lacks a fervent faith. But the thing is, we could also convince ourselves that we do enough that we're making something out of ourselves. That's another self-reliance. It's like a double-edged sword. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Guys, Jesus says here, what? He says, don't look at that gold that you're trying to acquire, all the wealth, and it's not enough. I counsel you. I beg of you. I tell you, you need my gold. The riches I have to give, they're pure. They're not tainted with corrupt materials. No, they are pure and everlasting. Seek my wealth that I provide. You look at the adornment of these people in Laodicea. They've got these great garments. I would love to see some one day, see what they look like, what their fashion was. The textile industry was amazing. We're not making clothes, guys, here. I mean, maybe some of you are. But we're not so concerned about what we're wearing. But I will say, maybe the American Evangelical Church is concerned about its image, at least our image individually. We have a fear of missing out, where we want to be involved in a number of things that when it comes down to it, if we look at it and we don't consult the Spirit of God, we're just doing stuff just to do it. Or we're just doing stuff so that we can appear to be busy. I'm guilty of this, our family's guilty of saying, hey man, whew, I'm just tired, I'm just busy. How's it going? Oh, yeah, it's busy. Church of Laodicea was busy. And the Lord God Almighty is saying, repent. Church of Laodicea was also concerned about this eye salve, and Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to give you something that's better than that. So again, I said they had apothecaries, they had a health education system of some sort there, where these doctors, or what would be doctors back then, were making this salve for your eyes. And Jesus is like, oh man, you guys are blind. I have something that I can put on you. It reminds me of the guy that when Jesus spit in his hand with some mud and patched it on him, right? And the blind man saw. In the same way, if we're not careful and we're not pulled by our winds and the ways of the world, what our society encourages us is success. We'll be blind as well, spiritually blind. So what do? Well, we ask the Lord to help us. Time is money. Where we put our time is probably more valuable than anything else. The money of this world is just that. We're not going to be able to take it with us. And even our own health. I mean, you look at all this stuff. We're worried about raw milk and GMOs and make America healthy again and this and that. And we're trying to live forever in the little shell of a life we have. It's vanity. It's not gonna work. Now think of Duck Dynasty and Phil Robertson, who said, he had one of his friends talking about how healthy he needs to eat and how he's going vegan and doing this and that. And Phil, who is a man of faith, whether you agree with his politics or not, he said, well, you're going to die healthy. And he's right. Thanks, Phil. Dave Ramsey, he's got lots of great wisdom especially about debt and the evils of debt. Amen. I'm with it. But if we're not careful, we'll be lured into that trap. I need more. I need to not give money to someone that's poor and in need because I have to do this for myself. And I don't see that in the lady that drops the coins in the offertory plate. I don't see her saying, okay, compounding interest. We need to make sure that we can live a life that no one will live so that we can give like no one will give. I don't see that in the text. I love the Ramsey plan. They do great work. But, guys, our days are numbered. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Liverpool football team. Remember, we'll 11-11 after this is over, guys. Lost a really good young man here recently, and my family just cried. this is an athlete. His name's Diogo Jota. Silva, actually is his name, but he goes by Diogo Jota. He's 28 years old. 28 years old, and died in a horrific car accident. I say that just to remind us, as the Lord is reminding his church at Laodicea, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Our days are numbered. Let's live for him. Let's live for our Lord and not for ourselves. Jota passed away, and man, it was awesome because people were just talking about how wonderful a dad he was, how wonderful a father he was, how wonderful a teammate he was. He's not a perfect man, but boom, gone like that. And you live in America long enough, you live in New York City long enough, you're living forever, right? We're wealthy, we're successful, we're doing things right, man. You can control your story and build it however you like. This story Jesus addressed in the Church of Laodicea is a condemnation against the church that feels like, man, I'm in control. I can do this on my own. I don't need any help. Watch this. Lord, have mercy on us and help us not live in such a way. His program, guys, his program is designed, the Lord's program is designed that as we step out in faith, as the Spirit mobilizes us to do this, we meet the Lord in the process. So, what am I saying? Take care of the deficit for ACC? Yes. 100 people gives $45 a month and the shortfall's gone. But, oh wait, we have net worth to worry about. Or I gotta pay down my debt faster so I can give more. I don't know. I think the Lord's checking us here and saying, wait a minute. Our Instagram following and all of the things that we have to do to seem like we are doing things right. All the busyness we have to pile in our schedule to see that we're not missing out, that we're special, important. No, we don't have any time left. We don't have any energy left in the tank to serve those who are in need. And then again, we're living, seeking to live forever on this earth when Jesus is saying, man, take up your cross, follow me, and then we'll live forever. Lord, have mercy, and Lord, help us. And guess what he does? He does. There's hope here. This is the other side of the story. Jesus is actually in this condemnation of Laodicea. He is giving them an opportunity. He's saying, hey, come to me. Come to me. I will give you riches beyond your wildest imagination. Riches that won't spoil. Riches that the tax man isn't going to take. I will give you status and prestige. Those black garments that you're convinced are good enough, I'm going to replace them with white garments of my righteousness, provided for by the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. You'll never be in want. And then finally, the old eye balm, the salve, saying, I will open your eyes and you'll see me. And you will be fulfilled. Could it be, ACC, that we are caught up in this health and wealth type of orientation? Could it be? I don't know. Could it be members in this body that the world has duped us? And we'd say, you know what? We're going to live forever. You know what? We're in control. I got this. I don't need your assistance. We live in a great economy. We live in a great society where we're free to make money and be successful. Guys, that's the lure of darkness. That's the lure of the evil one. Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me. I will provide for you. I will comfort you. I will help your faith be firm. Trust me. Trust me. You guys may have thought, I hear over and over again, we've been here for a while, we need volunteers. We do. We need volunteers. Maybe it could be helpful if we look at our schedule and say, hey, what can I pull back from in order that I have a little bit more energy to invest in the next generation of youth, for example, to invest in the youngsters here in the church. I don't know. Could it be that the Spirit of God wants us to collectively, as brothers and sisters, say, you know what? What do we need to let go of, and what do we need to do to see ourselves as those that are being led by Christ? We need to provide some buffer. We need to provide a little bit more sacrificially, so we remind ourselves the Lord is my helper and my friend. The Lord, help us. So I want to just take like 20 seconds for us to ask the Lord together in silence for his mercy, but two, to help us just to repent of, and I'm speaking for myself, help us repent of that control that we so crave here in New York City. And that desire to be successful, and that desire to be wealthy, and that desire for prestige and for power, and say, Lord, that's not us. We're not going to behave like a health and wealth church. We're not going to behave like an American evangelical church. We're going to behave like a biblical church, one that submits to your authority and follows you. And I'll close this in prayer after that. Lord, we thank you for this seventh church. It's hard to hear that what looks so good on paper isn't so good. Lord, I pray for myself, for my family, for Astoria Community Church, for everyone in this building, that we realize that our allegiance is to you. Our salvation is found in you, not in our own hands, our own works, our own efforts, that our riches and wealth, it truly is only in you. That our comfort and our health, spiritual health and physical, are in your hands. That our reputations and our appearance, our image, needs to be in you and found in you. Lord, you desire to fulfill all our needs, to comfort us, Lord. Lord, you can provide a fervent faith within each of us. Lord, I beg, please help us. Please help us. Lord, I don't know what you want to do with that 11v11 thing. That was weird. But I pray that together we play this game, so to speak. We walk together in faith, encouraging and inspiring one another to battle the unseen dark forces and that wants to trip us up and get us convinced that we live in an economy of the world and not in a spiritual one. Help us to move forward together collectively so that we would better one another and remind each other that you are Lord above all. We love you and praise your holy name. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.